Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the popular voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew.
Hello, Richard.
Popular indeed.
You are.
Indeed. Although you could argue that everybody loves a freebie.
So I can't believe the reaction we had. I cannot believe the reaction we had to your workout DVDs. And I'm thanking the high heavens I did not put the entire lot on Twitter for free for the masses. It would have been complete carnage otherwise, because I had that one box, didn't I? That one box of 17. And I thought, let's just put the feelers out there and see if anyone bites. My word, did they bite.
How many did we have? How many requests out of interest, you know?
Oh, I've lost count.
Right.
I've lost count. It went absolutely insane. Just to say, if you have messaged on Twitter and I've not got back to you yet, you will receive a response at some point. Some, sadly, will be disappointed, but I've just not had the time to rifle through all of the responses yet. And to be fair, I spent most of my weekend investing in stocks and shares in the hope I can raise, I don't know, a bit of cash so I can afford the postage to send these out to people.
I just can't help but feel to ask the question, how many people still have DVD players these days? Like, I've still got one, but it's very much packed away in a cupboard somewhere. So I don't know, is it just a case of people just want something for free, or do you think there's a lot of people that genuinely want to do a goalkeeping workout?
The latter, Richard.
Yeah, let's
course.
Believe that.
And it's choose... nice to play a DVD, isn't it? It's still nice to play a DVD. Not everybody has a smart TV
this
either.
This is true. And actually, on this DVD, something we didn't mention, there is a bonus skipping section as well, which they can get stuck into.
Why is it bonus? Why did you add it as a bonus? Why is it not just part of the
workout? Do you know
what?
I created this DVD, what was it, 12 years ago, whatever it was, and the idea behind it, I'm going to give you the pitch now of the DVD, and I don't think it's sold anywhere, so actually I can't even give you a pitch to take you somewhere to buy it. But the idea was, I think it was 5 or 6 sections of 10 minutes each. So it's 10 minute sections, one based on handling, or shot stopping, one based on cross taking, one based on distribution, one based on goalkeeping fitness, I believe, and there was something else. And then I did as an additional bonus, like some skipping routines that you could do to help your speed of footwork and things like that. So it was actually quite a bit of thought put into this, and it was so lucky. It was a lovely day. I did it in my parents' back garden from memory. I had a friend film it, and it was quite well received from memory. But I can't help but feel that now people are just wanting a freebie and they're not necessarily doing it in order to do the workout. But look, do you know what? If you are one of the lucky 17 and you do have this DVD, I'd love a review. I'd love your thoughts. I'd love to be able to play a voice note and somebody who's actually gone through the entire DVD, done the whole workout, to let me know your thoughts.
Well, if you were one of the lucky 17, such a random number, isn't it? If you were one of the lucky 17, that DVD is winging its way to you now. If you weren't one of the lucky 17 and one of the unlucky many, is how we're going to refer to them, we're going to try and figure something out, aren't we? I'm currently in the process of figuring out how I can convert the DVD into a digital file and then make it available for one and all.
Fantastic.
So no DVD playing, no postage. My word, the postage. Just watching it on your laptop or even on your smart TV, nice and easy.
Yeah, well, on that note, I think we need to thank our patrons who this month effectively have allowed us to afford that postage. So thank you as always.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, not to ask for a DVD, thank you. Just tweet us at GKUnion, hello@goalkeepersunion.net, or on our number 07503673020. Plenty coming up, Richard. On with the show.
Let's do it.
Into the Premier League we go, Richard. Liverpool 0, Everton 2. Delighted to say that Jordan Pickford has proved some of those doubters wrong with an encouraging performance at Anfield.
Very good. Very, very good. There was always going to be a big spotlight on him for various reasons. The main one being, of course, a Van Dijk incident, which has brought up so many times since then. And also the fact that recently he hasn't been playing all that much. So certainly the spotlight was on him, and it's fair to say he came through with flying colours, and the save in particular that we wanted to highlight, and it was a phenomenal save. And actually, this was very much the best of Jordan Pickford. Full stretch to his right. The power to get to this ball was extraordinary. You know, the speed at which he's got across to his right, got a good step in, real explosive power. And this is Jordan Pickford, what he is capable of. You know, I don't think there's ever been necessarily a huge question mark when it comes to this type of save. He is very agile, very powerful, certainly explosive power is something that he has in abundance. I've got no doubt he must do a lot of power training. And this was a phenomenal save at a crucial time in the game. And credit to him, massive, massive win for Everton.
Yeah, second half save from Mo Salah as well. All round very commanding, I think, is how he looked. Looked like he really had the bit between his teeth, didn't he?
Well, it's interesting because now we are getting closer to the summer. We've only got a couple of months. And of course, that is a big talking point as to will he keep the shirt? And certainly you'd feel, this is for England, of course, and certainly you'd feel that he is, of course, in possession of it at the moment. So, of course, if he can finish the season positively, then it will be a no-brainer for Gareth Southgate to start him in the summer. So, again, credit to him because I think certainly there's tweaks that no doubt he'll be aware of and no doubt he'll be working on. But for him now, it is a hugely important time and games like yesterday are going to do him no harm at all.
The power of recency, is that what you call it?
Power of recency, which is big. Look, do you know what? I'd talk about not just goalkeepers but players in general. The amount of players who will have a great start to the season, not such a good back end to the season, they don't get their move in the summer. And the players that do it vice versa, that maybe don't do all that much at the start of the season, but do brilliantly at the back end of the season, and they're the ones that seemingly get their moves or get the reward. Well, of course, look, if Jordan Pickford outplays Nick Pope, for instance, over the next couple of months, then of course he will get the nod. So yeah, massively, the power of recency.
Can't underestimate Alisson's save from Seamus Coleman's diving header before we move on. Many people saying Coleman had to score, but a good save.
Very good. Yeah, look, in terms of what he did, he gave himself the best chance to make the save. Knew he couldn't come from the cross, retreated to the line, gave himself maximum reaction time, good set and very quick reaction to make the save. So I felt for Alisson. I thought that he was very good on the whole. Actually made a good save prior to the penalty as well, down to his left. But obviously not a great deal you can do sometimes as a goalkeeper.
Okay, Fulham 1, Sheffield United 0. Aaron Ramsdale for the only goal of the game from Ademola Lookman.
It's a great finish. Look, I think that when you set, there's always going to be a slight weakness between the legs. Now, if you can close those legs incredibly quickly, then great. Sometimes you can make that save. But how often do we see it that if it goes either side of the goalkeeper, they're able to either move their leg to make the save or get down sharply to make the save? But when it's that close in and your set position is that little bit wider, then of course that is a position of weakness and there's not a great deal you can do. So no, for me, absolutely no chance. When it's smashed down the middle with such pace, there's nothing you can do. I know there's an argument to say that Areola had a similar one second half. I certainly wouldn't say it was anywhere near the pace of the one in the first half. However, it was a really good save from Areola, who did show that, again, move your legs really quickly, you might just be able to get a foot on it. And he was able to do that second half and made an excellent save.
Yeah, that one was from Ender Stevens. He then made a massive save at the end of the game to haul himself in front of Jaden Bogle, wasn't it?
Yeah, I love this. And this is where, and we've touched on this a few times in recent podcasts, where I just think that a moment like that, all logic goes out of your mind. All you're thinking about is, this is my chance to be brave and to win those 3 points for my team. And he's just gone in there. And this is one of those cliche comments where you take everything moments. Now, either player could have got injured. The ironic thing is, often it's when someone doesn't commit fully is when they do get injured. But in this case, I think both committed fully. He managed to get there first, got his left foot to the ball, managed to clear it, and it was so vital. I think if you go in half-heartedly here, it ultimately results in a goal, which could have been, well, could have been really damaging for Fulham had they not have won this.
Aston Villa 1, Leicester 2, goals from James Maddison and Harvey Barnes, both questioned on commentary and by the pundits. Both caveated, however, with the fact he's had a good season and we can't say too much about him.
Yeah, and do you know what? I'm going to look at both of these in isolation. The first one, look, this is where goalkeeping and sport in general is often a case of inches. You know, this is a fingertip that if it hits the post and comes out, we're talking about this as save of the week. You know, the speed at which he's got across and got down. I mean, it's a great finish from Maddison, that kind of whip with his right foot going round him, starting from out, coming in. So to get his fingertips to it was good. And of course, just wasn't quite able to get enough. So I think, again, we've got to be careful to pin blame. Certainly no blame. I think a lot of goalkeepers don't even get in touch. And again, that's the odd thing. If he doesn't get a touch, no one says anything. It's the fact that he gets a touch that, of course, people then ask the question. So no error whatsoever. The second one, is there an error? Look, it's a shot from very close and it's very hard. to gather that first time is very difficult. I don't think many goalkeepers do gather that first time, because you have to consider that you're set 2-3 yards out, so you're set in a very good position. It's shot, it's down low, a slight bit of movement in terms of he has to go slightly to his right, I believe, in order to make the save and to try and gather it. I just think it's an incredibly tough one to gather. Now, where you then parry it, you don't necessarily have a great deal of control. So I think he's a little bit unlucky here that it just happens to fall to the feet of an opposing player, then tries to make the second save and can't. So could he do better? Yes, but the level of an error is so small. You know, if we do the whole error rating, I'm giving this a 1 out of 10, you know, 1.5 out of 10, because I just think that it's such a tough ball to gather. I think to expect him to gather is asking a lot.
Okay, Manchester United 3, Newcastle 1, which, Richard, sadly means it's time for this. Commentary Corner. Okay, so this blew up on Sunday evening. It's the classic near-post debate yet again, isn't it? It's reared its ugly head. It does 2 or 3 times a season, and every time it does, it features in a commentary corner. Jermaine Genus and Paul Scholes, the subjects on this occasion, Richard. It was regarding Carl Darlow conceding from Marcus Rashford the opening goal of the game in Manchester United's win over the Magpies. Jermaine Genus, bit of an inquest going on, whether Carl Darlow feels he should have done better. I mean, I don't think Carl Darlow should be getting beat on his near post there at all. He'll know he should have done better with the angle he makes here, that's Rashford. If he gets that to the far post, then fair enough. But can't be getting beat at your near post. You have to say that's a mistake from Carl Darlow.
And I actually put a little tweet out myself, which I will read. And it wasn't just Jermaine Genus, by the way. There was also Steve Bruce, who said after the game, Carl has been magnificent this season so far, but he'll be disappointed with the first goal in particular. Obviously, with goalkeepers, it's the cardinal sin if they let one in at their near post. I put out a little tweet. My tweet read, and it was actually the quote from Jermaine Genus, you just touched on there. If he gets beat at the far post, fair enough, but you can't be getting beat at your near post. So I wrote, comments like this are why many goalkeepers overcover the near post. I'm not saying that Darlow can't save this, by the way, but stop with the cliche comments, please. So for me, just to touch on that and essentially build on that a little bit, this is a bit of a problem when it's not necessarily me saying that he can't save it, because I think he can. I think actually what ends up happening, and we spoke about this before, I think, about styling it out and not necessarily drawing attention to yourself. But I think the reaction from Carl Darlow instantly says, he's disappointed with himself. Kind of rolls onto his back, and the expression that he gives would make you think that perhaps he could have done a little bit better. But for me, it's that comment that if you get beaten at the far post, it's okay. Well, it's still not okay. If you take up a false position, which so many goalkeepers do, and I know this because I did it at times, like, you soon become aware as to what you're going to get blamed for and what you're not going to get blamed for. Now, you could be that extra step towards the near post, and yes, you make more saves on the near post, but you get beaten so easily on the far post. And I remember when I played, there were certain goals that went in that I didn't get blamed for, but I knew myself I'd taken up a slightly false position. And that was done out of self-preservation to an extent. But the problem with that is, of course, you're not going to be the most productive and the most effective that you can be for your team. So that's where I've got an issue with this, is just in that comment. Now, the goal itself, do you know what, is a lovely strike from Rashford, first and foremost, cut inside. And of course, Darlow will be moving to his left. It is a very sharp shot down to his right. And I don't think he quite executes the dive as he means to. I don't think the angler dive is quite right. Doesn't quite get his hand to the ball, which if he does, I'm sure it then cannons out for a corner. And he almost does then fall onto his back because he hasn't quite got the angle of the dive right. So I don't think technically it's fantastic, but it is just that comment. We've got to be so, so careful with that near post comment. And I love the fact that every time it's now said, people are jumping all over it. Normally goalkeepers are jumping all over it. I forever see that quote, and it was a Kasper Schmeichel quote, which has spread a lot on social media, and it keeps cropping up from time to time, which is effectively, look, whether you get beaten on your near post or your far post, you're going to be disappointed. It's not necessarily that one is worse than the other. If you've taken up a true position, sometimes you will get beaten on the near post and not have a chance.
I know we've discussed this at length before, but we did have a tweet in regarding this incident from MCC at Cali 22001, who says, genuine question, are goalkeepers taught specifically to cover the near post? That makes no sense to me, as surely it just opens up the far post more. You can't have it both ways.
That's exactly the point. Exactly the point. Great tweet. And as always, thank you for all the tweets that do come in. But that is the point. You have to take up a true position. Now, by the way, without me getting too geeky about this, of course, when they're on the angle, the near post, in theory, you're going to ever so slightly overcover. And the reason that you do that is, of course, it's closer to the person kicking the ball. So if you can appreciate, it's going to get there quicker than it's going to get to the far post. So naturally, you ever so slightly do overcover the near post anyway. And that would be the correct position because, again, the speed at which it's going to find the near post. And I know there's a picture that we've spoke about off air where it shows the position Carl Darlow is in. And I actually think he's in the perfect position when this shot is taken. And that's where, as I said in my tweet, and I'm going to repeat what I said in my tweet, I'm not saying that he won't be disappointed with this because I think the reaction says that he is disappointed with this. Again, I just really want to labour that point that we've got to be so careful with this near post cliche.
Yeah, that picture you refer to was sent in by Michael Johnson, who says, is someone honestly going to try and tell me he shouldn't have saved this? The picture being at the point of impact as Marcus Rashford is hitting it and then Darlow's position, what, a yard in from the near post. There was a response to that, to be fair, from @SlatsMachine, who said, the dangers of the wonderful out-of-context screenshot with the benefit of hindsight.
Yeah, because also I think there's a point with it. It's a great screenshot, by the way, but I do think that, of course, the goalkeeper is moving to his left. Carl Darlow is moving to his left. So setting and getting down quickly, and we're talking a split second, you know, the speed at which it leaves Marcus Rashford's foot and he can strike a ball. It's not like one of those that squirmed through and it's gone quite slowly and it's a bit awkward. It is a bullet of a shot. And without repeating myself too much, Carl Darlow, he's taken up a good position. Just a slight tweak on the dive, and I think that he saves us. The more interesting point to me with all of this is actually now Carl Darlow is coming under a little bit of pressure. Of course, Dubravka's fit. It's just funny how, and we talk a lot about the narrative, but how the narrative has changed, it seems, slightly surrounding Carl Darlow. You know, a few weeks ago, could not do anything wrong. And you almost get that as a number two stepping in. Initially, you can't do anything wrong. It's almost unexpected when you do all these fantastic things. But of course, that soon shifts. When you are then seen as the number one, it's a completely different narrative that surrounds you. And of course, now you've got Dubravka, who is the number two as it stands. And it's almost as if you can sense that at some point he will be back in the team. And it's just funny how the dynamic, the relationship can just change so quickly because, yeah, I'm sure it wasn't that long ago people were talking about Carl Darlow for an England call-up and just reading some of the tweets and seeing the general message that's been out there over the last week or so. It's certainly a lot different to what it was a few weeks ago.
It's amazing, isn't it? Just on that, about how it almost goes 360 to an extent. You're at that position, you flip it 180, you become the number one. And then because a couple of errors creep in, and you then go back to number two, you're no longer the number two fighting for that number one spot. You're the always the number two who made those errors. So you then become more of a dodgy number two as opposed to the positive number two who might be challenging Dubravka.
Yeah, look, I think it's a fair point. I think it also lends itself to the argument about the idea of the two number ones, which you hear so often, the idea I want two number ones fighting out with each other, which very rarely works for me because I think when a situation is set, it tends to be that it is what it is. Whereas obviously now this situation isn't set. I think we all know that with Carl Darlow being a one, having done as well as he has, Dubravka has been one for so long. So you just feel that at some point that situation has to change. I think Brighton did it very well by moving Matty Ryan on. And that was a situation that worked for everybody. They obviously really like Robert Sanchez. But by doing that, again, they've created a nice dynamic at Brighton. I don't think they've got that at the moment with Newcastle. And by the way, it still might not be right, even with Dubravka going back in, because I think now Carl Darlow will see himself as a Premier League number one. So again, that might be a situation that we keep an eye on towards the end of the season.
Okay, there was another aspect to the commentary corner. I did say Paul Scholes had a bit of a say at half time. Now, this was regarding David De Gea in the first half when there was a looping ball that went extremely high, which is also going to be a similar feature of our keeper capers this week. From that, he then made, well, he punched it out, didn't he? He then made a very good save from a deflected Jonjo Shelvey shot. And then there was a comment on the goal from Alan Saint-Maximin too. Paul Scholes said, David again, so sloppy here, and it's becoming a real problem having the confidence in your goalkeeper. David, again, can you catch that? You punch that into a really bad area. Luckily, the shot comes right next to him and he should save it. Sam Maximam hits it into the ground. This is for the goal. I think that slows it down a little bit, sends it on a bit of a loop. And again, the goalkeeper, I think the goalkeeper should save that.
That's horrendous. And it's one where, you know, we say all the time about having a goalkeeping pundit on the panel. But I think if there was anybody that knew something about goalkeeping, they'd have shot him down at every single point there. And I almost feel like it is a personal thing with Paul Scholes and David De Gea, because this isn't the first time that he's got on him. But he genuinely had no reason to get on him this time. If anything, I'm watching the David De Gea performance thinking, this is a very, very competent performance. I thought that ball that's looped into the air, you ask any goalkeeper, which again, Paul Scholes won't have any knowledge of, it's one of the toughest balls to deal with, and a ball's dropping vertically under the crossbar and you've got people challenging you. Very rarely can you hold this. Such a difficult ball to hold. So he's made the right decision, punch, got it a good 16, 18 yards, fantastic punch. Then to make the follow-up save with a deflection, brilliant save. So to be criticised with that, you've got no chance. And that's what's so disappointing. The level of punditry, which seemingly surrounding goalkeepers, is not improving with certain personnel. And I hate to name it, because Paul Scholes was a hero of mine as a player. What a phenomenal outfield player. But certainly when it comes to his goalkeeping punditry, it leaves a lot to be desired. And look, no chance with a goal either. It's a good finish. He smashed it into the ground. It's flown up into the top corner. Again, to question the goalkeeper, it just means that as a goalkeeper, if you're playing in front of Paul Scholes, very rarely are you going to get complimented. So yeah, highly disappointing. But unfortunately, with Paul Scholes, that has been the case with a lot of his goalkeeping punditry.
I guess with the goal, it's because it wasn't a clean strike, was it? It was struck into the ground. Yeah. I know, but I'm saying that's why maybe he's looked at it that way. And it's funny because two seasons they played together. I don't know whether there is a rule that if you've played with someone in your career that you then don't criticise them. That's certainly not the case here with Scholes and De Gea.
No, it's not. And I think that, again, I just feel for David De Gea here because he's certainly had enough stick over the last couple of years. And at times, rightly so, you know, there's been certain errors that I don't think you can legislate for. But I genuinely thought this was a very good performance. Made a solid save down to his right in the second half. Again, there was another top hand save in there, which again, we've touched on this a few times, where it's because it's a classic David De Gea save, doesn't stop it from being a very good save. And just because it looks that little bit more flamboyant at times, that is because he is so agile. He's so flexible.
Okay, well, here's a question then for you, because after that first save in the first half, the deflected one you're referring to from Jonjo Shelvey, I had a quick look on Twitter because I thought, this is going to blow up and everyone's going to say classic David De Gea camera save. I was not to be disappointed. So here's a question. Does David De Gea make camera saves?
David De Gea is incredibly agile, incredibly flexible. So I think when he makes saves, they're going to look that little bit more flamboyant. So are they camera saves? I mean, come on, I hate this phrase. Camera save. Look, there's times when I can sense that a goalkeeper's making a little bit more of it than they need to. I genuinely don't think that David De Gea does that. You know, I know we're going to be talking about a performance, the Inter Milan goalkeeper, later on. And now I think there's times that he does that where he makes a little bit more, but ultimately the result he's getting is what he wants. He's getting the ball away from danger, out for a corner, out wide for a throw-in or whatever it might be. So the end result is exactly what he wants. So the argument will always be, well, does he need to do those additional movements in order to get it to where it needs to be? So look, it disappoints me because I think this comes back to the narrative that does surround David De Gea. And what we do try and do on the show is, yeah, we'll pick out things when we don't think they're particularly good. But at the same time, I think when he's doing well, we do need to highlight that too. We've got no agenda here. Whether Dean Henderson gets in or not at some point soon, look, it will be what it will be. But I think, you know, in terms of a one-off game here, as much as we were quite critical of David De Gea for arguably a little bit of lack of bravery in recent times on a couple of moments, I felt this was a very, very good performance. And I'd argue that if we had another goalkeeper in goal, they may not have won this game. They certainly weren't 3-1 winners in my eyes.
Okay, just to finish, Wolves beating Leeds on the Friday night game, and Ian Melier, incredibly unfortunate to concede the goal. Well, actually to score an own goal after the shot from Adama Traore cannoned off the bar and ricocheted off his head slash neck slash upper back.
Yeah, well, when things aren't going your way, and of course he got a little bit of stick the game before for the ball that came back to him and of course gave away the penalty, you do often go through times like this where it just feels like things aren't necessarily going your way. And it can be the most challenging, where you do just have to get your head down and keep the faith that things are going to turn back in your favor at some point soon. Because I thought he actually had a very good display. He looked good. Body language looked good throughout. You wouldn't have known that he'd got a little bit of stick the game before, which credit to him for a 20-year-old, 2021, whatever he is now, to have that kind of mentality and that kind of body language. I was really impressed. And this is just one of the most unlucky situations that you're ever going to see. For it to hit the corner, the top corner of the goal in the way that it did, come down on the angle, and for Melier to be, his body to be at the angle that it is, to then cannon back into the goal, this has to be a one in a, I don't know, one in a million. It has to be. Like, the odds of this actually happening. So just felt so sorry for him. I had, yeah, quite a few messages from the goalkeeping community on that moment, which you'd expect. But yeah, just a truly, truly unlucky moment. Nothing he could have done. And generally a good performance from him on the whole, I thought.
Richard, on you go.
Indeed, Matthew, it is time. It is time for the Championship rundown. We start on Friday night, where Watford took on Derby, and it was a 2-1 victory for Derby. And this was one of our regular date nights that we have from time to time. And interestingly, and I will just touch on this because I was actually quite pleased that this happened. So Joby McEnough was doing the punditry on Sky, and the goal went in, Derby's goal went in. And interestingly, he texted me straight away and said, "Rich, what do you think? Can Daniel Backman do better?" Now, for those who haven't seen the goal, it was across from the right-hand side, ends up with a bit of confusion inside the six-yard box, and it's an own goal in the end from Troost Ekong. And I love the fact that he messaged me this, because I think at first, Joby, and he's quite open, wasn't too sure whether it was a goalkeeping error, whether he could come, given that the cross was only 3 yards out. I then sent him a couple of screen grabs to show the runner across the front, which of course means the goalkeeper has to go to the near post, set for what is potentially going to be a shot from the person running across the near, which therefore means he can't come for the cross. And in the end, Daniel Backman had no chance. But I love the fact that Joby McEnough texted me to ask me and then gave that feedback himself when asked about it at the end of the game. But it was a 2-1 victory for Watford. Yet another win for Daniel Backman. And he's certainly building quite a name for himself now at Watford. And certainly his record since they've been in the team has been very impressive. And Watford back up into third and level on points now with Brentford. So all going well for them. We move on to Saturday. And it was Coventry 2, Brentford 0. Quite an entertaining game here for both goalkeepers. Clean sheet for Ben Wilson. Credit to him. David Rea with a couple of phenomenal saves. One from 3 yards out. How he reacted to it and got it over the bar, I'll never know. I felt for him on the penalty, which he conceded. And again, we'll touch on that. And he was caught out trying to play out from the back. Intercepted. Coventry then scored, one that no doubt he'll be frustrated with, but we're going to talk about the penalty very shortly because I know you've got a couple of thoughts on that, Matthew. Bristol City 0, Barnsley 1. Good clean sheet here for Bradley Collins in a massive win for Barnsley. Cardiff 4, Preston 0. Quite the entertaining day for both goalkeepers here. Dylan Phillips, first and foremost, another clean sheet, another win, 5 wins in a row that is now for him whilst being number one at Cardiff, and a double penalty save. First one down to his right. He's got a nice little technique on the penalty. He kind of does like a shuffle before the penalty is taken, but he shuffles the way he's going to go. So it's like a double bluff almost. Then he dives that way. Very good save to his right. Then a very good save to his left moments later, because a penalty followed the initial penalty. Huge credit to him. And a phenomenal save from Daniel Iverson, it has to be said, on the third goal. But again, no chance on the follow-up there. And no chance really on many of these goals. 4-0 to Cardiff. Huddersfield winning 4-1 against Swansea. We spoke a lot about the Freddie Woodman clean sheets, but again, not a great deal he could have done with any of these. In a convincing win for Huddersfield. Millwall 0, Wickham 0. Excellent performance here from David Stockdale, of course making his first Championship start of the season after his brief loan at Stevenage. Impressive point as well for Wickham going away to Millwall, never easy. Norwich 1, Rotherham 0. Nottingham Forest 1, Blackburn 0. Clean sheet for Brees Samba and a penalty save. for Brees Samba as well. Down low to his right, what an important victory this could be for them. QPR 2, Bournemouth 1. Very good one-on-one save here from Senny Dieng. Decided to drop deep when the ball came over the top. You did wonder whether he was going to come out and try and meet it 50-50, but made a good decision to drop deep, then engage, spread very well to make an excellent save in this one. And Bournemouth conceding a disappointing goal here, looking to play out from the back. Defenders playing between themselves. A risky ball played into the middle, which meant a one-on-one with Asmir Begovic. Nothing he could do as QPR ran out 2-1 winners. Reading 0, Middlesbrough 2. Clean sheet here for Marcus Bettinelli. A great victory this away at Reading, who had been flying high prior to this. Sheffield Wednesday 0, Birmingham 1. Important victory and an important save from Neil Etheridge here late in the game to his right hand side. Excellent save. And again, what an important 3 points that could be for Birmingham. And finally, Stoke 3, Luton 0. Another clean sheet for Stoke.
Top stuff, Richard. 3 points to pick up on there. And we'll start with Dylan Phillips. Like you said, two penalty saves in that win over Preston. And great to watch as well, just because of the way this is a goalkeeper that really maximises the staying on the line, because you can still move. Of course you can. You can't come forward, but you can still move. And he really maximises that. That little shimmy that he gives. Slightly more accentuated in the first one. I think he started more to his right for the first one, didn't he? And then as the taker was approaching, then he moved into the centre. For the second one, as the taker was approaching, he just shifted to his left, then back into the centre, and then again to his left. Just brilliant to watch.
Very, very good. Very intelligent. Got an unbelievable penalty record. We were talking about this, and we need to find out exactly what it is. I mean, the stat that I saw is 43% save ratio, I think, is the one that I saw. But no, delighted for Dylan, one of the lads that I work with and have worked with now for a few years. And of course, those that saw last season, he was brilliant for Charlton. And he's had to wait his time. You know, Alex Smithy's top, top keeper at Cardiff. And of course, it was an unfortunate virus during the game against Bristol City that's given Dylan this chance, but certainly he's taken it. This is now the fifth game. All five have ended in victories. Mick McCarthy doing an excellent job there, it has to be said. So no, huge credit to him. It's never easy to step in for someone like Alex Smithies and do what he's done.
Yep, David Raya for Brentford against Coventry. The penalty scored by Tyler Walker. You are adamant, unflinching in your belief that there was nothing David Raya could have done.
No. And I know that I'm a little bit stubborn when it comes to penalties against. Like, I never want it to be a case of, oh, they should have saved that penalty. I know a lot of people said that about Lloris with the penalty last week, for instance. So I never want to be that guy. But I actually genuinely think that there was no chance of saving this. And it's one of those horrible ones where you dive and it's not a good penalty. And it ends up going around where your hip is. But given that you are horizontal and you're maybe a yard off the ground, there is a gap between your feet and your hands where you just can't get to because it's below your hip. You can't move your hands to get back there. You can't move your legs to get there. So it goes in that tiny little corridor that you just cannot get to. So I really felt for David Raya on this one. Genuinely think there's nothing he can do as bad as the penalty was.
So this is where I think the niche goalkeeping understanding is difficult for fans and journalists and pundits alike to understand, I suppose. And they have to then be educated because, like you said, the penalty is not a brilliant penalty from Tyler Walker. Should he save it?
It's the fact that it's so bad is why he scored. It's only just off centre. He's meant to put it right in the corner and he hasn't. If he puts it a tiny bit more in the corner, then yes, David Raya gets a hand to it and saves it. It's, I mean, let's bring up a classic one from years gone by. The Gareth Southgate missing in the Euros. And that's one where it was a bad penalty, but it wasn't that bad. It was still going towards the corner. It was a yard or so off the ground. So, of course, where the goalkeeper is diving, it was perfectly in that little slot to then parry it away. This is so bad that it's gone in a slot that the goalkeeper just simply cannot get to if you've already committed to a dive. So, look, I felt for David Raya on this one. I mentioned that the second one, look, Brentford do try and play out from the back, and that's one that I've got no doubt he'll hold his hands up to. But certainly the penalty, no, it's just one of those things.
And a great save from Callum O'Hare, like you said, just phenomenal. Incredible save.
Phenomenal reactions. And I mean, I think we've touched on this before with David Raya, but that is one of the big strengths he has, is being as powerful as he is, but the reactions are just phenomenal.
Nice. To finish on the Championship, you mentioned David Stockdale there back in at Wickham. Let's just focus first on the double save in the first half. First made a parry and then a tip over the bar of sorts with his legs while on the floor.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant save. And it's been a crazy few weeks for David Stockdale, going on loan to Stevenage and hadn't played for a long time because, of course, he'd been at Birmingham prior to joining Wickham. Wickham part of last season and, of course, this season. But Ryan Allsop has done as well as he has, so hasn't had that opportunity. But, of course, went to Stevenage just to get a few games. Did brilliantly at Stevenage, it's fair to say, and certainly left there with a lot of plaudits. And then to get his chance, a slight niggle for Ryan Allsop, I believe. So then to get his chance as quick as he has, and certainly he took it. You know, double save that he made. The thing I liked about it was the first save, he's got down to his right and he's parried it out, but it was the decision to actually stay on the ground. Now, ordinarily, you would look to get up as quick as you can, but it was the intelligence he showed to sit there, wait for the second shot, almost in a sat-up position, thinking, right, I'm just going to react from here. I'm just going to hope that it comes somewhere near me, and then I can either make the save with my hands or potentially with my feet. And it was then the movement just to get his foot to it and somehow, I don't know how, get it up and over the bar was just, yeah, just superb. And then the save that he made in the second half, more orthodox, certainly, but again, show good agility to get up, tip it over the bar. And as I say, to keep a clean sheet at Millwall, never easy.
So prior to this season, Stockdale had played just 10 games combined in the previous two campaigns. Like you said, he signed for Stevenage. That was an emergency loan in Feb. Played 5 games in succession, the last of which we mentioned in one of the previous podcasts, that match-winning performance with that penalty save at Crawley. And then he's called back in at Wickham, clean sheet at Millwall, 2 saves, 2 crucial saves in a goalless draw. I mean, a whirlwind month of a goalkeeper.
Crazy, but it just shows you how quickly things can change. And so many examples of this over the years. And it's one of those where if you are a goalkeeper and you're not playing at the moment, just know that your chance will come at some point. You have to have that belief. Therefore, you have to train harder than anyone, knowing that it could be any second, because there's nothing worse than that opportunity coming and you not being ready for it. But certainly, it's fair to say that David Stockdale, whatever he's been doing behind the scenes over the last year, 2 years, he certainly prepared himself because he looked good, he looked sharp, and it was a very, very good performance.
Well said, Richard. Well, great news.
Go on.
We can hear from the man himself. Text Talk returns here on the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Here is David Stockdale first talking about that double save that he made.
Yeah, the save, it was more difficult than it looks, the first save. He cuts inside, takes a shot, and then it goes through one of our defender's legs. So I kind of overcompensated the dive, which means I went past it a little bit. So I actually put it back into a bit of a danger area, which is a bit of a no-no. But when it went back, the striker, he stood on my foot by accident. So he was offside eventually, but he was stood on my foot. So I couldn't actually get up for the rebound. So I just stuck my foot out and my arm just to try and get something. And luckily it took the bottom of my stud and went over. He was offside. But yeah, it was nice to get a save in, and sometimes you have to get a little bit lucky and be in the right place, but the first save is one that we should make, and obviously you always try and look at how you can better yourself. So yeah, it was a good double save, as they say, but the second one won't count because he was offside eventually, but we'll count it.
Lovely stuff. That was good, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
And of course, we wanted him to just reflect on the month that we've already discussed. Here is what he had to say.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind 3 weeks, I think it is now. So I got a quick emergency call to go to Stevenage. They needed a goalkeeper for a couple of weeks. That's my first game in about a year. So it was nice to get out there, get the gloves on. Even though there's no fans, it's nice to have something to play for. Spent a good couple of weeks, managed to save a penalty on the Tuesday. And then on the Friday, I got called back to Wickham because the goalkeeper got injured. And so it was nice to be able to have played a few games before getting the call back to Wickham, which was a whole plan in itself. And it just worked out that we planned it right and everything went to plan apart from the injury to the other keeper. So to play and get a clean sheet is the main thing, and it was good. So we're happy with it.
You can't top a bit of text talk, can you?
Indeed.
Okay, over to the best of the rest in the EFL. Joe Day with another penalty save for Bristol Rovers. This one from John Akinde in what ended in a defeat at Gillingham. Ellery Balcombe, as cool as you like, in Doncaster's draw with Hull. A blip with a chip, but blushes were spared as Keane Lewis Potter popped it onto the post. And Christy Pym with a parry in Peterborough's win over AFC Wimbledon. Just what you like to see when the ball spins up and over, but back this side of the line.
Yes, indeed. He's playing really well at the moment, Christy Pym, it has to say. And that was one of those moments where you turn around and you see the ball spinning back towards you. A little bit of luck that he certainly deserves, it's fair to say.
Ben Amos denying Kyle Vassell on three separate occasions in Charlton's draw with Fleetwood, Michael Cooper, another two top saves as Plymouth drew a blank at Rochdale. And in League Two, Port Vale's Scott Brown with a great save down to his left from Connor Wilkinson's deflected effort. And Ian Lawler of Oldham, a save from a James Vaughan penalty. We're seeing a lot of smash down the middle pen saves at the moment.
We are indeed. That was a real satisfying save as well, as he's gone to his right hand side. One of those that hit him right in the heart of the foot. Ballooned to safety. Fantastic save.
Yet another mention, Richard, for Carl Leatheran of Morecambe. A brilliant save to keep out Kay. Josh Kay of Barrow onto his left, onto the post.
Yeah, phenomenal. We keep mentioning his name. He is making world-class saves week in, week out at the moment, it's fair to say. And this was excellent save to get fingertips to it, to get it on the post. Always looks fantastic. Very satisfying save.
Couple more to go. A tale of two keepers in the draw between Stevenage and Walsall. First, Liam Roberts of Walsall. What a performance from him.
Yeah, inspired performance. And one in particular that I'll touch on, to his top left. And the speed at which he got up there and the athleticism he showed. Brilliant, brilliant save. And it was from a header, dropped to his line, gave himself as much reaction time as he could, but still not many goalkeepers get to this. Brilliant save. And that was one of about five or six that he made on the day. Jamie Cumming, on the other hand, had a tough opening to this game. And you know, where I'm going to give Jamie Cumming a lot of credit is that when you concede this early and it's a goal that you certainly have a hand in, it can be quite difficult then to play the rest of the 90 minutes and be able to keep your concentration and focus, which in fairness he did, because it was one of those moments, balls come back to him, we're only 15 seconds in, I'm guessing, in this game, and he's taken a touch and just taken a little bit too long in order to clear the ball, close down, we see it over and over, and of course the ball ends up in the back of the net. But then to play the game thereafter, again, it's a really nice lesson for a young goalkeeper, of course, Chelsea goalkeeper on loan, playing his trade at the moment at Stevenage, but a really nice lesson to be able to play games like that when you've had a tough start to the game.
Tell you what I liked about this was the fact that he owned his error. He tweeted after the game, Jamie, and said, "No excuses today. I know you can't start a game like that, but these things are part of the game and I'll learn from it. The lads did more than enough to win the game, which is frustrating. Looking forward to being back out there on Tuesday."
Yeah, perfect. I think that's it. Take responsibility, be accountable for your actions and move on.
And to finish, Jojo Wallacott jumping back into action on loan at Swindon from Bristol City. We had a text in regarding this particular moment. "Love the podcast. I'm a regular now. As you know, Swindon have had a nightmare with goalkeepers this year. So how about a shout out for this amazing save from the latest loaner and debutant, Jojo Wallacott? It was a lovely left-hand scoop, wasn't it, to keep out Michael Mandron."
Brilliant save. Do you know what, Jojo, just to give him a quick mention, because he's one of those goalkeepers who, he's been a number three at Bristol City, had a bit of time out last season at Forest Green. Another excellent young goalkeeper. I think he's 23, 24 now. And to get this loan, which came a little bit out of the blue, to get this loan, delighted for him to be seen again. And it was an excellent save. And what a victory this is for Swindon. To come in and get 3 points on your debut, a team that have been struggling, to make a save, a match-winning save like this, huge credit to him.
Yeah, it was Crewe that they beat. And Paul Wynn was the gent who texted us from Camas in Utah. Mm. Richard, we continue to go global.
We do indeed. Fantastic.
"He did say I knew nothing about him, so was very impressed with his whole game. We had 29% possession and grabbed a huge 3 points, mainly thanks to him. As you probably recall, we had Kovar, who had a nightmare, and then Travers, who was recalled. So hoping Jojo has a good stay and keeps us up. Love the podcast. Listen to everyone on my way to sessions. Keep up the good work."
Great stuff. And a couple of interesting points made there. The fact that they did have Kovar, and of course, quite a highly rated goalkeeper at Manchester United, but didn't quite work out at Swindon. And as mentioned, Travers, of course, called back to Bournemouth. So yeah, great opportunity this for Jojo Wallacott, and certainly has started on the right foot.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper caper.
So we did mention this earlier on in the podcast when discussing David De Gea and that looping ball that he opted to punch in Manchester United's win over Newcastle. This time, Mark Oxley, in Southend's defeat against Bolton, also had a looping ball. Opted not to punch. I'm not entirely sure what he did on this one.
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier the one with David De Gea. It's one of the worst balls you can face when it's just coming down vertically and you're not quite sure where it's coming down and you have to make a decision. Do you catch? Do you punch? Do you tip over? I always remember a classic one, and it was on a lot of like Own Goals and Gaffs back in the day, with Paul Jones of Southampton at the time, where a ball got smashed up into the air and it was almost like he'd just given up on it, and then it dropped and then someone's just tapped it in on the far post and it felt like it took an eternity to drop. Well, the similarities here where you can see that he's waiting under the crossbar and he's waiting for the ball to drop. He's not quite sure where it's going to drop. Is it going to drop out of play? Is it going to drop on the top of the net? Is it going to drop into his hands? In the end, it drops, hits the crossbar, goes back into play, at which point he reacts and comes to make the save. And it is just a horrible, horrible ball to deal with. I think that, again, hindsight's a lovely thing. It's probably one that you'd try and jump up and tip over the bar. But I promise you, it's such a tough thing to time the tip over the bar and to get the connection to make sure it gets out of play. And in the end, it just looks kind of funny because he stood there with his hands in the air and you're not quite sure what he's waiting for. It's a horrible moment for him. But again, I would say it's a really difficult situation to deal with. And I'm sure that Mark Oxley wouldn't have been the only one that would have been caught out by this.
Yeah, it doesn't help when the player follows up and puts it into the back of the net, does it?
Just highlights it, compounds it, unfortunately.
Back-to-back mentions for Own Goals and Gaffs, by the way, from you.
And a couple today. I think, as well as my DVD being hot off the shelves, I think Danny Baker's Own Goals. It was Danny Baker, wasn't it? Did that it back was, in the day. Yeah.
There was another one, I think Rory McGrath. Do you remember him from They Think It's All Over?
That's right,
I think he did one too.
They were classics back in the day.
They were, yeah. Peter Devine. Do you remember him?
No.
That actually wasn't Own Goals and Gaffs. That was Nick Hancock's Football Nightmares, I think.
That was another one.
You must remember that penalty. Peter Devine, when he runs up to the ball and then stumbles as he's about to hit it and then just falls over the ball.
I do remember that. I swear, I used to get one of those videos every single Christmas. I'd always wake up and there'd always be, that would be Christmas viewing.
And you never chuck them away.
No.
I've still got hordes of VHS. It's time to purchase a VHS player, I think, and just watch them all over again.
I think absolutely. It sounds like a fun afternoon, Matthew. I'll look forward to that.
Thrilling minute over at my new gaff, mate. I tell you what, that's what you get when you move to Bushy.
There you go.
Just to finish, Richard, the Derby della Madonnina between Inter Milan and AC Milan was at the weekend, and Inter winning comprehensively 3-0, thanks largely to Samir Handanovic. Cannot underestimate again the trio of saves he made at the start of the second half, particularly the two headers from Zlatan.
Yeah, very good performance, has to be said. And you mentioned those two headers in particular, one down to his left. And it actually looks quite unusual when you first see it, because he gets down to his left and he parries it with his wrist and gets a lot of height on the parry. And at first you look and you thought, oh, has he made a little bit much of that? But actually, when you see it again, what he's done, he's got it so far out of danger. So he's got down to his left, almost like a volleyball type shot with his wrist, and just balloons away to safety. Excellent save. And then the second of the two headers, he's had to kind of move his body because it's hit him almost on the chest, his right hand, and he's just shoveled it out. But again, you can tell there's intelligence as he's made the save, because he's known where the danger is and he's kind of shoveled it out to his left, had to move his body in order to do so. Very good save, and again, very important in an important victory for Inter Milan.
Good stuff, Richard. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers
away.